There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from the massive media library. It's easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations. Canva presentations are perfect for any deck you want to design for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can nail their presentation with Canva presentations. Perfect, record, and share a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. You'll appear in a video as a talking head on the slide, and it's the perfect solution if you can't be present in person or if time zones are tricky. Nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Tee hee hee.
Tee hee hee.
Oscar weekend. It just happened.
It kind of came and went, didn't it?
I feel it's been so long. Every year when the Oscars are over, I'm like, well, that was long. Like, even last night, well, we'll get into it, but the result was very positive, I feel, for this podcast at least.
I agree. Very happy with the result. But I must confess that I did not watch the ceremony.
Well,
I
saw you were the clips. In transit.
I was in transit. I was asleep. You know, it's tough. I didn't realize that people east of America have it a little bit tough. Just past the Atlantic Ocean, it's the time zones are tough for live television.
Oh, yeah. It's so hard. Well, L.A. really makes it all about them, you know?
With
these L.A. live shows, they say we're getting in at 5 on the dot. We're getting out by 8:30. And so the length of the Oscars really doesn't perturb anyone. But then if you are a New Yorker or eastward, you are up until the wee hours watching this very long ceremony and what I would call a very long season of campaigning. The length of it all, the Oscars truly are a marathon.
Yes, that's rule of culture number 57.
Yes.
The Oscars
truly are a marathon. I did watch. I watched with a large group of people. And I will say that it was extremely loud at the party I was at. I could not hear a lot of what was happening, but certainly we stopped for some select speeches. We basked in Michelle Yeoh's glory, friend of the pod. It's incredible to say Michelle Yeoh has won an Academy Award, making history, and rightfully so. I mean, come on.
Come on. Let me just quickly backtrack. You said you were at a loud Oscars party.
Yeah.
This is actually going to be a requirement for me in future years. No more than 4 people.
Yeah.
No more than 4 people on Oscar Sunday. Because I need to be watching. Because what happened last year at the Oscars, I was at a big party. Really hated it. Could not hear what was going on.
Yeah.
Thank God I was home alone when the slap happened. Because I could just experience the shock for myself. If I had been in that room, it would have been chaos. And I would not have been able to process.
Yeah. Here we are, we're all trying to sit and bask in the glory. I mean, look, was everyone like, we have to hear what Jimmy Kimmel has to say? No, but I want to hear what Jimmy Kimmel has to say.
Absolutely. I want to see how he approaches hosting duties in this very opportune year for that show. It felt like a year to really go back to basics, go back to tradition, embrace tradition even, and reject modernity, which it seems like people really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I say this as someone who did not watch the actual show, but I watched the monologue.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine monologue.
And perfectly fine is maybe what we need.
Yeah, you do just miss the days, though, when you had someone like a Billy Crystal, like a Whoopi Goldberg, really holding it down. Like, it was the reason I tuned in even as a kid. I guess it's different now as like a movie ticket paying adult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that they were just so nervous after last year. They had to keep it completely like this is going to be by the book. Even like it just didn't feel like there was any. And I say this, I don't say this as a pejorative, but there was no edge to the monologue, which probably was good. We needed a light atmosphere. And I was curious how they were going to discuss the slap. I thought the slap part of the monologue was probably the strongest part. I loved the panning around to the crowd. You know, everyone was involved, etc. And the jokes did work. I mean, there were very few jokes that I thought didn't work. I mean, I think he kind of bailed on that joke about the women directors.
As he was saying it.
Like, yeah, kind of like his heart wasn't in it. But overall, I thought like, yeah, absolutely. Like, we got off to the start. You know what I'm saying?
I have to say, I am going to be very honest.
Okay.
I feel like I am in a takeless state of being right now. I have nothing to really offer. I am not really consuming much of the culture. I am not really forming opinions about much of the culture. And this is not fun topic of conversation. I'm like really, really, really spent. And it's not fun to talk about. Like, it's not interesting for me to talk about being tired. It's the least interesting thing for anyone to say. But this is like reaching a new level. And I'm sorry that I'm bringing this into the chat. I wish I had like a fun and excitement to bring during a time like this when it's like a great Oscars that like celebrated a lot of very populist movies. And we had so many people to root for and that things kind of came out in a very nice, deserving way in the end. But yeah, I am like empty mind.
Well, lucky for you, I've had nothing but time and I have experienced much culture. So maybe this episode is me saying things and you reacting at any energy level you want to give, Bo.
I love that.
Because I have tons to say.
Okay.
So the Academy Awards, Everything Everywhere All at Once, pretty much swept. History making, the most Oscars above the line that we've had in the 95-year history of this ceremony were won by one film, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
And would you say that this is a historic time for people using the term above the line?
I would say never before, and certainly in the last 24 hours, the words above the line have been used so many times. Some people even know what they're talking about when they're using the words above the line.
Usually they don't. And I've heard above the line said so many times in the last 24 hours as well.
Yes. Well, above the line Oscars meaning, you know, your best picture, your acting categories, your directing, you know, your screenplay categories. So we had Everything Everywhere All at Once win best picture, best director for Daniels. Best Actress Michelle Yeoh, Best Supporting Actor Ki-Hui Kwan, Best Supporting Actress Jamie Lee Curtis in a race that really upset some people, and I'm going to get into it. Best Original Screenplay in what was also a tight race, and just on down the line, Everything Everywhere All at Once, a film that we absolutely love.
That's right.
And championed.
That's right.
Took it simply all the way home. Took it simply all the way home. And it feels like everyone was really on board for all of its wins, except for Best Supporting Actress.
Yes. I found this so interesting. The first time ever in Oscars history that one single studio dominated, won all the, again, above the line awards. So with Brendan Fraser winning for The Whale, that means that A24, for the first time in Oscars history, swept above the line categories. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about this Jamie Lee Curtis thing.
Well, before we get to Jamie Lee Curtis, I just want to say, if you put a gun to my head and said I had to watch The Whale, I'd say pull the trigger. I won't do it. Mm-hmm. You cannot get me to watch The Whale. Mm-hmm. Whenever I see even a clip from The Whale, I am so deeply hurt, distressed, and offended by everything about it. And I'm not even just talking about like the absolutely just macabre like performance of like
of Sadie Sink. Just kidding.
Yeah, of Sadie Sink. Exactly. It really hurts me. It hurts my heart and my spirit. The score that plays during every clip that they show, that movie looks so wild to me. And even though it is an Academy Award winning film, with a gun to my head, if you said watch The Whale, I'd say mama here, let me help you. And we'd pull the trigger together. I will not watch it. I can't believe that's an Oscar winning movie. More than once. You can read many pieces by Roxane Gay, Guy Branum. Like, many people have much more eloquent things than me to say about this, but just know I stand with everyone who is like, absolutely fuck that film. Never in my life, not even with a gun to my head, please pull the trigger. So that's what I have to say about The Whale. Did you see The Whale?
I did not see The Whale. I share your sentiments.
And so we can just move on from The Whale, which is something I'm happy to do. Talking about this Jamie Lee Curtis of it all. Now, when you watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, did you think, Jamie Lee Curtis, this is an Oscar contender? In your honest opinion.
In my honest opinion, I will say, if you were to ask me after I saw the movie, or at any point after I saw the movie, between Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu, who is the bigger Oscar contender? I think there was a very obvious answer there. And then even throw Carrie Condon in the mix, and I would be like, oh, you know what? Maybe still Stephanie. And biases aside, still Stephanie.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
I would agree.
But it's not a new phenomenon to give actors a career Oscar for, you know, a film where they do a serviceable job. Jamie, she's wonderful in the movie.
Yeah, I would actually go as far as to say Jamie Lee Curtis is extremely good in the movie. What I think is annoying about like this weird backlash to Jamie Lee Curtis's win, which, by the way, if anyone's upset for Stephanie Hsu, do not be. She is absolutely overjoyed and overwhelmed with gratitude. And that I can guarantee you that was exactly the outcome that she wanted. She wants nothing more than for Key, Michelle, and Jamie to get their flowers, and for that movie and the Daniels to get their flowers. Like, do not cry for Stephanie Hsu. She is way onto the best time of her life. But the thing about the Jamie Lee Curtis of it all is it's like, to pretend that this was the worst career Oscar that they've ever given is so crazy to me.
Absolutely.
When that
not.
Laura Dern Marriage Story win is in recent memory.
Yes. When fucking, like, I'm sorry, even like Meryl Streep, Iron Lady. I'm like, why are we, like, we're getting an Oscar for that? You know, like that kind of thing. This is totally fine.
It's completely fine. Like, first of all, Jamie Lee Curtis as a function in the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once is hilarious. She is the villain. She works perfectly within the tone of that movie, and they fucking love the movie. So we should have seen this coming after she won SAG. Either way, this was probably going to be a career Oscar given because like Angela Bassett in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, like, is also amazing. She's fantastic in the movie, but no one left that movie thinking, and wow, that's Angela Bassett's Oscar. Either way, it was going to be
one
of these two iconic actresses was getting a career Oscar. They just happened to go with Jamie Lee because they were obsessed with that movie this year, rightfully so. And, you know, I understand the disappointment for Angela, but the thing is, like, I just don't get, like, a hatred and vitriol for Jamie Lee Curtis when there are way worse career Oscars that have been given. Laura Dern essentially walked onto that Marriage Story set and did Renata at a 6 and won an Oscar.
Yeah. And I should say that I feel stupid and silly for bringing up Iron Lady because it was not in that category, but it's the same idea, right? Completely agree with you. I feel like there was such a clear front runner going into that night.
Yeah.
That it was hard to pick villains. I mean, Jamie Lee was sort of the most ready-made villain narrative to, like, for people to sort of latch onto, I think.
And I don't think it's a coincidence, Bo, that in the year of the Chic wind chimes on Beverly Hills Housewives, I mean, that was a campaign move. When Jamie Lee Curtis went on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and absolutely blew Dorit away. You have to remember, these women,
so chic.
They have, that was FYC. When she brought in her my hand in yours, my paw in yours, her incredible product line to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, that was the beginning of the campaign. And we should have known the Oscar was stamped with Jamie Lee Curtis's name from the beginning. When she walked into Kyle Richards' home and Dorit said the word chic, the race was over.
When Dorit Hemsley says, so chic, you're on the ballot, honey.
It's actually Rule of Culture number 90.
When Dorit Hemsley says, so chic, you're on the ballot, honey.
Honestly, it's just bizarre. Like, I get it. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis is such a meme. She's such a, because of the trauma. This film is about trauma. This film is about trauma. But the fact is, like, she's out there busting her ass, working hard. And I'll tell you what I really respect that they never do is they never, ever, 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 ever give awards for performances that are purely comedic, purely genre. And therefore, in terms of a career Oscar, I think this is a really fitting one for Jamie Lee Curtis because it was a genre performance.
Yes.
She has yes. been one of the most iconic actresses in genre films for decades. And don't fucking talk to me about Jamie Lee Curtis winning this Oscar when you were rooting for Laura Dern the other day. Like, I mean, the other year. Like, is it?
Yeah, the other day.
Like, yeah, the other day. And everyone was doing it the other day. And literally, like, I feel like I have this discussion so much with other gay men, like, about the Oscars that I'm like, make it consistent. You know what I'm saying?
100%. 1,000%. I think it's pretty cool that a sci-fi film swept all these awards. I mean,
absolutely.
Very shallow assessment. Oh, but on the trauma, it's a movie about trauma note. Like, this cast, like, give it up for the campaign, though, on this. Like, I think A24 put in $10 million for the campaign. A lot of money, more than they've ever spent. But this group of people, between the Daniels and this cast and everybody involved, was able to find ways to talk about this movie as if it was their first time talking about it for, like,
yeah,
pretty much a year, like a full calendar year.
Oh, yeah. We had Michelle on the show, like, pretty much right after the movie came out. And then we had Stephanie on months later.
Mm-hmm.
And that was honestly before Stephanie was, like, actually on the real radar for Best Supporting Actress. Like, I remember thinking, like, oh, and that would be so cool if she got nominated. And then she started getting nominated for things. And I was like, wait, like, this is a really big thing. It felt like the momentum kept picking up for not just the movie, but for then the entire cast extended. So honestly, one of the better Oscar campaigns I've seen. And also remember, this movie premiered literally almost to the day, a year before the Oscars at South by Southwest, which I also think put South by Southwest really on the map as a place where you can debut your film and it can go on to literally the highest heights. So there's something to these festivals really early in the year, word of mouth, studios investing in quality and in, yeah, sure, niche films, but, you know, investing in filmmakers and investing in vision and investing in talent that is very singular to these types of projects, because this is one of those, like, once in a lifetime, once in a blue moon movies that only comes together with all these different singular talents. And then the campaign was run really fucking well. And there's no other Best Picture winner like it.
Yeah, it's true. And so funny. There was some write up about the Governor's Ball after the show, and they were keeping people anonymous, but they were getting a lot of quotes of people, you know, eye roll, but going like,
yeah.
Yeah, there just wasn't any surprise to, like, that movie sweeping. And it is just kind of, and then some fucking exec, they didn't specify them by name, but some person was like, it's just kind of disappointing to see a year where so many huge blockbusters were nominated, like Avatar and Top Gun, and them not take home any big prizes. And it's like, well, even if you take Everything Everywhere All at Once out of the running, there's still no, like, clinched front runner right. in that, you know? Like, thank goodness for Everything Everywhere All at Once being in the race this year.
Yeah. I also think, like, yeah, there's no surprise because the Oscar campaign, the Oscar season continues for so long, and Everything Everywhere All at Once had such a campaign and such a strong hold on voters' minds and the public's minds that it felt like a blockbuster, like, you know, big juggernaut at the Oscars. But also, not for nothing, but had you said a year ago that the Oscars would have been owned by Everything Everywhere All at Once, that would have been a huge shock.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, maybe on the night it didn't feel like big surprises were happening and you were not entertained or whatever you wanted to feel during that 3.5-hour show because you felt like you saw it coming. But to step back from it in a macro sense, like, it is a huge anomaly that something like Everything Everywhere All at Once wins not only Best Picture, but that many Oscars and is this historic of a moment. So that's just to me saying just how kind of lame people can be about, like, kicking my feet about me not having a fun night and less about, like,
sure,
you know, whether or not what should have happened. That is ridiculous.
And it's a different kind of shrug than Coda winning Best Picture last year.
Right.
People were like, wait, what? Oh, okay. Like, this is more of a, interesting, peculiar, like, minimizing this crazy triumph. Which I get that it's like, it's at a certain point, this a movie like this becomes easy to dunk on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And easy. It's easy to dunk on it.
Yeah.
It is not like the intellectually interesting thing to do. I promise.
Right.
Not that I'm an intellectual, but I'm like, I really think that it's just like the reason it sustained this sort of importance throughout the campaign without it growing stale at any point was because it was a legitimately great movie that got people to the theater to see it.
Yep.
That told a story about ordinariness being incredibly powerful and meaningful and beautiful. A thing that everyone can resonate with. A thing that like gets my immigrant mom to go see this fucking movie and cry. Like it's, I think it's pretty major, whatever.
It, you want to know what? There's so many narratives that are such winning, like feel good narratives about this. Like obviously like the history it makes for Michelle Yeoh, who again, like my rubric is always, I've said it a million times, like could anyone else have done it? This literally no one else could have done it.
Nobody
could have done it. And that, so for that, the family narrative, the queer narrative, which often gets lost in the discussion, you know, just across the board, like this is a huge victory for, I think, creatives. And I think for the Oscars themselves, because even though these execs are saying whatever the fuck they're saying, like this is an extremely cool movie to win Best Picture. It's not stodgy. It doesn't feel like everything else. It totally breaks open what studios may invest in as a quote unquote Oscar film. You know what I mean? It's not like a biopic. It's not, it's never boring. In fact, if people have a complaint about it, is it that it's completely overwhelming.
Yeah. Overstimulating.
And overstimulating, which is like, I mean, for a maximalist like me, like I fucking love. And to say nothing of the fact that it absolutely catapults our dear friend Stephanie, who now everyone in town knows who she is. And she looked absolutely beautiful, too.
God, truly. I mean, just a radiant, beautiful person her whole life. But it's like you said earlier, nobody worry about her. She is someone who, I don't know anyone who has a healthier relationship to the artifice and the weird, bizarre aspects of that business. She just sees it for what it is in such a fun, for lack of a better word, like kooky way. Like she's riding high on this and it's perfect. Yeah. It couldn't have happened to a better person.
What I always like to do is I like to watch the announcement of the winners in the five boxes. Like, you know what I'm saying? That moment of euphoria that Steph like displayed when Jamie Lee won was 150% authentic. I will say if one thing bummed me out, it's that Angela
looked upset,
was clearly hurt. You know what I mean? She clearly thought maybe that was going to be her moment. And the thing is, it would have felt incredible had it been her moment. And I completely understand disappointment. But the fact is, like, so she doesn't win an Academy Award for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the best performance of her career. Like, it was an amazing performance. It would have been incredible to see her win, but I genuinely do believe Angela Bassett's moment is coming. I really do. I don't know that Jamie 100%. Lee gets another like huge opportunity like that in such a weird, specific thing that feels again very Jamie Lee Curtis in a way. Whereas, you know, with Angela, like she was able to deliver like that extremely regal, poignant. There's like a leadership quality and obviously in her performance as the queen in Black Panther Wakanda Forever that I think is intrinsic in her. There's so many things about that role that feel very Angela Bassett, but there's also so much more that she can and will do. And I think especially now, so many people are going to be like, we have to write Angela Bassett's Oscar role. Like watching her sit there and not get it was a tough one, but I just don't believe that she will go without one. I really do think her moment is coming. But I get the frustration about that. I really do.
Totally. Totally.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! We're all going together, the Lost Cult family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Gaga.
Gaga.
She needed no introduction.
Got the makeup off.
Period.
Said, give me the cleansing balm. I'm doing double cleanse before I go on stage. Give me the micellar water.
She said, House Labs makeup removers.
Give me the House Labs. And then she went on that stage in torn jeans and a big gray t-shirt. And look, she delivered. At first, I was like, oh, what is this?
It was scary. You know what it was giving? It was giving, she's deep. In Harley Quinn right now.
And I think she is.
You could see in her eyes. I was like, there is something fucked up going on the set of Joker Folie à Deux. There is something deeply dark going on because, first of all, her first words being, I wrote this song with my friend Blood Pop. I was just like, can you imagine not knowing who Blood Pop was and being in the audience and like the camera cutting to Lady Gaga, who seconds before was in a full garment and makeup, now is looking wrecked on stage with her like a few members of a band. Like
John Williams is sitting third row hearing the name Blood Pop going, who? John Williams is there and he has to know about Blood Pop.
Engineer Doug says looked great and killed it. I agree, Doug.
Doug,
I mean,
we agree.
Honestly, too, like I was also nervous in the beginning of the performance because she kept it in the basement for a long time. Like that was not a typical performance of Hold My Hand.
But then she got up. She went upstairs by the end.
Oh, yeah. She got up.
Really did. And then did you notice when Kimmel in the monologue like threw to her? At some point, I mean, I think they're friends. Like, she's been on Kimmel a bunch of times.
Yes,
and, like,
yes.
I think they like each other a lot. But there was a moment where, like, she, like, turned on in a way that kind of overcorrected.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was being very present, just having the kind of Gaga mindfulness that she's been in for her whole life.
Yep.
But, like, there's something different about this, about it being, you know, Joker mode, literally. Yep. And then she kind of just, like, hey, goodness! Like, just, like, something kind of...
She's a laugh away from a tear right now.
She's a laugh away from a tear right now. And it's very interesting. I hope she's taking care of herself. We obviously, there are no two people who love her more in the world than us.
You know she's not taking care of herself, though. You know she's not.
I thought Chromatica was going to change things. I thought it'd be Gaga 5'2" and Chromatica were going to be like the sort of bloodletting moments where she was going to be on the path to like healing. And I do think she has done a lot of healing. I just think she takes on these projects where she has to fucking self-immolate. You know, she has to like really fucking like suffer.
And you know that Joaquin is not the best influence either, because he also goes all the way hard in. And so to think of the two of them doing Joker, and then even just the drama of her being like, I'm not performing. And then the next day or 2 days later, it being like, no, just kidding. She is. And we had been told she doesn't feel she can get it together for the performance. And then them being like, okay, never mind, she is. And then the camera panning over to her, looking the way she looked. I wrote this song with my friend Blood Pop. And even if you're broken inside, you can be your own hero. I was like, is she about to crack?
You're like, the alarms are sounding. I think it was a very smart move of her to really, you know, she like, it would have been weird if she like had any production element to it. And so for her to be like, let's go all the way the other direction. Yeah. I'm going to be in a t-shirt and jeans. I'm going to be basically sitting, kneeling in a squat, whatever. And then I'm going to like stand up at the end. That is the most action that's going to happen on stage. That's the most blocking. Great move. Great idea. Mm-hmm. Truly very, very, very smart. And I'm proud of our girl.
Yeah, I'm proud of her. I mean, she ripped it up. I will say, it's just so funny that like when she was initially nominated for Hold My Hand for Top Gun Maverick, it's such a big fucking movie and such a huge song that we were always like, oh, it's going to be fighter jets. It's going to be parachutes. It's going to be wind machines. And she came out there looking like Tiny Tim. And she came out there in barely able to stand and gave that performance that we were not positive she was going to make it through. And it still was a highlight. And she never flops on that stage.
No.
She absolutely, she crushed Sound of Music. Till It Happens to You was a fucking moment.
Amazing.
Like Shallow, that was a moment in culture. And this Hold My Hand performance was unforgettable. She is 4 for 4 on delivering, like, and I love it. I mean, like, my friend was saying, like, what a thrilling career pivot, like, for her to go from the pop star that she is to, like, essentially, like, this fixture at the Academy Awards. And you know, you simply know that if Joker Folie à Deux is good, she'll be there again. Of course. She'll perform a number from it, which I'm sure she'll contribute something to the soundtrack. It is a musical. Perhaps even nominated for Best Actress or Best Supporting Actress. I don't know how big her role will be. Yeah. But they fucking love her. We love watching her on the show. Lady Gaga is the Oscars.
A couple things. I mean, remember that first time she did the Oscars doing Sound of Music? It was this like, oh, she's there? And it was in this rough patch in her career, post-art pop, I think pre-Joanne.
It didn't seem right, yeah.
There was not a lot of certainty. You weren't sure where it was going next, right?
Yep.
And then that was when, like, your grandpa was like, oh, I actually like that Lady Gaga. She can really sing.
Yes.
And then from there, just, like, builds and builds and builds. And the second thing is, with the Joker Folie à Deux being a musical thing, Josh Sharp has this great joke. Where he's told you, right? Where it's a jukebox musical, and he's like, I think it would be actually so incredible if she and Joaquin sing Shallow. If they both sing Shallow in Joker Folie à Deux. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I honestly can feel, I mean, we've heard Joaquin sing in Walk the Line. That obviously sits right in his register. I really want to hear not just Lady Gaga, but Harley Quinn sing as Allie.
Yes.
I mean, this is meta on meta on meta, and it's film greatness. Engineer Doug says, her performance was a very rock and roll moment. Yes. Strip it all back. The danger was present. No glitz, no glam, no maximalism, not even for Top Gun Maverick. the winner of Best Sound.
Yes.
She just gave it to you.
That Natu Natu performance was amazing.
Incredible.
Electrifying.
Yeah.
Congrats. To, I mean, yeah. Deserved
win. Have you seen
RRR? I have not, but I really want to. I've been meaning to. And that fucking, if that performance was not, oh no, wait, what's Han saying?
What?
Oh.
Han said not a single South Asian on stage.
For Natu Natu?
Okay. Hans, explain more. You can't just drop this. What, Hans? Hans wants to come on. Come on, Hans, because we're not able to speak to this.
Hi, folks.
Hi.
Okay, so explain what's going on.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't want to derail the Love Fest because it's an incredible song, a deserving award winner. But I have seen, and obviously the people in the crowd and the audience were like electrified, enthused, and loved that performance. But I gotta say, my wife and I, who are South Asian dancers from back in college and have like plenty of South Asian dancer friends, we just sat there like kind of confused the whole time, looking at these faces who appeared to be some form of people of color, but we're like, are these people South Asian? Did they just outsource this to like a local Los Angeles dance company to just like recreate the dance from the movie? And I don't know for a fact that there were no South Asians on stage, but reading a little bit about it afterwards and just sitting there confused, we were just like, how could they do this? But of course, the Oscars of any body would do something like that. It does appear that they hired Napoleon and Tabitha, who I know from So You Think You Can Dance, to I guess choreograph the performance. I don't know, but it was literally just like the dance from the movie, which is an amazing dance.
Totally.
And I should add, it's not just that I like am a South Asian person who wanted to see people who look like me doing the dance, although that's important.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it betrays the entire point of the song in the movie, which is that there's these two Indian guys at an all-white party who are being like teased and ridiculed for being different and for not knowing how to dance. And these white guys are like, do you know how to dance also? Do you know how to dance flamenco? And they're like, no, but here's how we can outdance all of you. And then they bust out. It's like the most incredible dancing you've ever seen. It's uniquely Indian dancing performed by two Indian guys to put all these white people to shame. So when you fail to cast South Asian people on stage, you're like missing the entire point of the movie and the performance and the song. So it's just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, this IndieWire article that you've sent us says a representative for the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, when asked about the background of the performance's dancers, told IndieWire that it was, quote, incorrect that there were few, if any, South Asian artists in the performance, though they did not provide further information when asked for clarification.
And I gotta say, like, just the dancing on stage, that is an impossible dance to do in one take. Like when you watch the movie, it's incredible. It's highly edited. And I think I had seen an interview with SS Roger Mulley where he was like, yeah, there's just no way that dance is so high energy. There's no way you can pull it off. I think that like the framing of that performance as let's try to do the impossible was probably never the right way to handle it. And it was just a bummer. I think that like every other song performance had some level of production, like the Everything Everywhere All at Once song, incredibly staged and performed. Rihanna like lifted into the sky. And then Natu Natu was like, they just put a picture of that palace in the background on the screens. And then they have like people dancing. So anyway, not to disrupt the Love Fest. Love the song.
Yeah.
Love the choreography. I think South Asian dance is just like so good that even a mediocre version of it is really impressive, especially to like, you know, non-Indian people who've never seen something like that before. And they weren't like bad. They just didn't hold a candle to what it could have been.
Right.
So I think that people are like rightfully blown away, but couldn't on this platform of all platforms, you know, not at least talk about it.
Of course. Thank you for letting us know.
No, I'm happy that you did, because honestly, I would never have known that.
I don't feel like it's that sinister and insidious of like the audience is too dumb to notice. To me, it just feels like, one, I'm sure there's not a South Asian person involved in the production of the songs specifically, or somebody who was in a position to say like, hey, maybe we should consider this. I think they probably thought they hired great choreographers.
Yeah.
Nappy Tab's like legitimately are incredible, like some of the best in the biz. They're just not the right ones for that. And I think that when you're in a machine that moves as fast as the Oscars does, there's probably just not somebody to say, hey, hold up, let's like rethink this part of it. And
right,
I should say, like, testament to how incredible the song and the dancing is, that even an underwhelming version of it elicits the response that it did. Like the first standing ovation, I think, like people just out of their seats, enthused, electrified. Like there was nothing fake about that.
No, I mean, watching at home, I was like, that was an unbelievable performance. I mean, like I would never have thought anything. And I have not seen that movie yet, but everyone that has seen it was simply like, even with all the stars that they had nominated in that category, and it's not always in a situation where Best Original Song has Rihanna and Lady Gaga both nominated and they have the opportunity to have one of those women on stage accepting an Oscar, which is a moment in and of itself and a reason to bring in people watching. It seemed like it was unanimous amongst everyone predicting it and voting for it that Natu was the deserving winner. And so, yeah, that is disappointing for them to have not like come through exactly on the performance. But I will say, as a viewer, I enjoyed it thoroughly and made me very excited to see the movie.
Which you have every right to. And that's honestly what it's all about. It's like, does it make you fall in love? Does it make you want to go appreciate this movie? So thank you guys for giving me the chance to talk about it.
Of course. Thank you for talking about
it. Thank you for coming on. And we celebrate you. And this is, we've always said, more of a Howard Stern-esque podcast.
That's true.
Than anyone knows. In that we have people come in and sort of pop in. Not in that we have, like, you know, naked women coming in and like seeing who can get tickled the longest.
Which one of us is the Robin then?
I'm the Robin 1000%.
Matt's, no, you guys are both
Matt's
Howard.
No, we're both Howard.
No, I'm just not. I am not. I have not for the past 2 years been giving any energy besides Robin. Matt says something amazing, funny every other breath.
This
and
is
I'm
ridiculous.
In the back going, wow, yeah. I'm going, really? I'm Robin.
No.
I'm sorry. It's so boring for me to complain about how tired I am. And it's not fun to like root for me and be like, hang in there, Bo. But like, it is tough. It is tough right now for your old friend.
Well, you are tiring. You are tired for really good reasons.
I am tiring.
You are both tiring and tired for really good reasons. I'll say that. I was also going to say Rihanna performed.
That's right.
Her and her pregnancy hormones were very, very, very present so she could deliver the vocals.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm bad Navy. I did not watch.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing about it.
That performance.
It's about one quarter of a song. And so I think it's fine that you didn't. I said, if that song was any better at all, if Lift Me Up was any more of a song than it is, she would have walked away with that award. But the thing is, it really is. I mean, and she admitted it's a lullaby.
Sure. I guess I didn't know that the whole Malala moment happened while they were setting up the set for Lift Me Up. And I guess Jimmy caught a little bit of flack for that. I thought she handled it great. I thought she looked amazing.
She looked stunned. She looked incredible.
She looked fucking stunned.
Malala may have been best dressed at the Academy Awards.
And sometimes that just happens. Sometimes Malala shows up at the function and she is best dressed.
Yes. You always, always, always run that risk.
That's right.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
You know, Matt, every day I am looking for new ways to reach my money goals.
I know you are, Bowen, and I also know that that leaves room for little rewards and treats along the way.
Like, for instance, every day that I save, I leave room at the end of the week for a special delivery order.
With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Sometimes you have an emergency and overdrafts happen. With Chime, you and your friends can spot each other by using boosts to increase your overdraft limits.
Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress.
Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals.
No monthly fees or maintenance fees.
And over 60,000 fee-free ATMs.
To date, Chime has spotted members over 20 billion.
Take control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees.
Open your account in minutes at chime.com/culturistas. That's chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
I saw so much Broadway.
I'm
this
so
week.
Happy to hear more. Yes, I need to hear all your opinions about Broadway.
I have to say, I saw, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, okay, so. Get this. After SZA, which was incredible, I then saw Jessica Chastain in A Doll's House the day we recorded last week's episode. And then, by the way, it was an amazing moment when Jessica Chastain and Halle Berry handed Michelle Yeoh the Oscar, and then the three of them arm in arm left the stage. And that image was like,
beautiful.
Wow, gorgeous, stunning. It's not necessarily representative of the Best Actress winners of all time, but it was representative of, I hope, what the future can look like. And I thought that was a beautiful image, the three of them arm in arm walking off. I thought that was wonderful. But I just wanted to say that I saw Jessica Chastain in A Doll's House on Broadway, and I have thoughts and a review. I've never seen A Doll's House performed live. This was very minimalist. It's literally just the actors in navy blue clothing on stage in rotating chairs that move about the stage. That's really the only like stunt that the show does until the end, which I won't spoil. But it's really just like a genuine showcase for Jessica Chastain's acting.
Love it.
There's no props. There's no sets. She is absolutely unreal. If this isn't a Tony win, then I don't know anything. Because this is like... She's literally faced out to the audience pretty much the entire time. Like, even when she's speaking with the other actors, she's rarely facing the other actors. She's really giving it out. And just to watch her shifts, her control, her focus, it's really... And by the way, no audience has ever coughed more during a production than this production of A Doll's House that I was at. I don't know what it is about... It was just like... Everyone who was sick in the world was at this theater. And I really have to commend all the actors, but especially Jessica, who holds the center. It didn't deter her at all. Also, seconds into the, like, not seconds, minutes into the performance I was at, someone from the audience had to scream for help for a doctor, and there was a huge problem. And someone was escorted out. It was like a really intense moment.
God.
And they started from the top.
Oh no.
And they did the whole thing again. Oh. And Jessica was just perfect. I mean, I just have to say, like, I saw this in the final week of her reign as Best Actress. And I think it's so cool that what she decided to do in her year, you know, when she has pretty much any choice in the world, huge, huge, huge actress. And, you know, in her Best Actress moment, decided to do this type of production of A Doll's House. It just was such a flex. And
yeah,
if you can go see Jessica Chastain in A Doll's House, you really should. If you're a theater person, like,
and sip some Delsim before you go in.
Yeah,
try not to cough, please.
It's really giving cough drops necessary, or just wait till you feel better to go. Because I'm telling you, Bowen, every 5 seconds.
No, no, no.
Like
that happened to me at Chicago. Everyone's coughing in Broadway now. It's a lot. It's not a COVID thing for me necessarily. It's just like, stop that.
Maybe just bring in like a water bottle or something. And here's the thing too. This actually is true. Usually if you feel like you need to cough, you can just take a sip of water. Usually.
Yes. Rule of culture.
What rule is, what number is that?
1,000.
It's rule of culture number 1,000.
Usually if you need to cough, you can just take a sip of water. Okay, so A Doll's House.
That was fabulous. A Doll's House, I give a 9 out of 10.
Amazing.
And there's a stunt that happens at the end that I won't ruin, which made the audience gasp.
Oh my God.
Then on Tuesday, I went to go see Sweeney Todd on Broadway with Annalee Ashford and Josh Groban. Now, this show is still in previews, and I think what I saw felt like a preview.
Okay.
So I am going to be withholding my review of Sweeney Todd until I see it again. And I have already bought my tickets for April. I don't want to ring off any alarm bells about Sweeney Todd. I think that this production is going to get there, but I'm going to go again in April so that I can be, I think, very sure about what I say. That's what I'll say about that. But there's a lot to like.
And you did say something in the Marlon Mandel episode.
What did I say?
You had heard that it was Annalee Ashford's show, that it's her show.
And she is fucking hilarious. I'll say that. Like, she, it, you know what it's giving? The choice is kind of giving like Goldie Hawn as Mrs. Lovett.
Interesting.
And I didn't know baseline when it started how much I would like that choice. And I think it was the right choice for her.
Okay.
There's just things about the production that I think still need to, like, I think they're still working out sound and stuff. And so like, I'm just waiting until I got a ticket that's a little bit closer to the stage until I can really like soak in it, because it's Sweeney Todd is my favorite show of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make sure that I've seen what the production truly is before I give a review. So I'm withholding on that.
Yeah.
But stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Okay.
Review incoming. Wednesday, I saw Ben Platt in Parade. This was a 10 out of 10.
Wow.
He is like a weapon in terms of like musical theater performance. He is such an incredibly gifted actor. I actually had never seen Ben Platt perform live, weirdly enough, even though he's a friend of ours. And there were ample chances to see him in Dear Evan Hansen back in the day. I just never low-key had the money to go
Me neither.
Sold out. I never could go. So being able to see him live was incredible. Parade, if you all don't know out there, is a musical. It's a Jason Robert Brown musical about the trial, conviction, and hanging of Leo Frank, who many historians believe was incorrectly and unjustly tried for and hung for the crime of murdering a 13-year-old factory girl in Atlanta. It's deals with issues of anti-Semitism. It deals with issues of race. The music is absolutely beautiful. It's just a really stirring show that I cannot recommend enough. Michaela Diamond, who plays Leo Frank's wife, Lucille, is also fantastic. It's just, you got to go see this one. It's really good. I think a contender for best revival, and Ben should absolutely be up there for best actor in a musical. I mean, his voice is fucking crazy, Bowen. It's like, we all know he can sing and belt to fucking high hell, but there's moments where he goes into his lower register that I was looking over at, like, I saw it with George Tavares, Dave Mazzoni, and Patrick Rogers, and we were looking at each other like, how? It's just like, it's, some people just are able to do things vocally that others are just not.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Happy for him.
And then finally, I saw Camelot on Friday. It was, I think, the second performance of Camelot at the Vivian Beaumont and Lincoln Center. And
it was a set.
Pippa Sue is incredible. Taylor Trench is incredible.
Oh,
this show needs to cut time out of it. It just is too long.
Act one was an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, the show started at 8. I did look down at my watch at the end of act one and it was 9:46.
Mm.
So again, they're also in previews and I think some attention should be focused on getting it trimmed up. You know what I mean? Like just getting it to move just because it really is long. It's a new book by Aaron Sorkin, which may have something to do with that. I certainly was laughing at a lot of it, but I wonder if we could be getting through it quicker.
Sure.
And then I saw Betty Who on Saturday night and she fucking ate it up at Hammerstein Ballroom. Incredible performers, dancing choreo the whole time. Vocals sounded amazing. We love you, Betty. We had an amazing time. And then I went to go see my sister at Saturday Night Live. So what a week for me, I think.
I'm so happy that you had this rich week, truly. And it was exactly what you... What?
No, I know. I can tell you need some culture.
It's really bad. It's really bad right now. It's dark. If I think too long about it, I start to really go to a bad place. And we will not get into it any further. But I really do think that this is exactly what the doctor ordered for my sister.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of life to think about. You have a lot of the world and history to think about. You have music to think about. So many things stimulating you. And you are someone who takes that in and processes it in the best way. It comes out as something very cogent and thoughtful. And I always love hearing you talk about it. I know the readers feel the same way.
Well, it's been medicine.
Yes.
Let's just say that. But don't worry, Bomb, because I'm taking you to Disney World.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I need it so badly.
I can't believe that I'm going to get to be there when you do Rise of the Resistance and this Guardians roller coaster for the first time, and that you and I are both going to do Tron.
I'm going to be there when you do Tron for the first time since I've done it already.
Oh yeah, you've done it in China.
I've done it in Shanghai. I remember it like it was yesterday. Yang and I waiting at the gates of Shanghai Disney before opening. As soon as it opens, a bum rush of hundreds of people running to the Tron ride. I've never run faster in my life. Yang and I bolting to Tron. And we were one of the first people to make it there. And it was one of the most thrilling experiences of my life. A perfect coaster.
I am so beyond excited. Because to think about riding this roller coaster like a damn Tron motorcycle, face first.
To have the thing fasten you and press down on you from the back. Hit it from the back, why don't you?
I here's the thing. I know it's the Magic Kingdom, but I'm going to feel very sexual on the ride.
Your back is going to be arched, coccyx out. You are going to be primed.
Oh my God.
It's going to be sniffies up in here.
Primed.
People are going to be ass up, like sniffies.
The visuals.
Yeah, the visuals. Oh
the
my
visuals
God.
The visuals inside of Tron.
Inside and outside. Don't forget outside of Tron, because guess what? You're going outside for a little bit.
I'm so excited.
It's giving.
You are going to absolutely gag for Guardians too. And Rise of the Resistance, forget it, Bowen. Oh my God. The way we're about to get captured and taken to another planet and then the way we're about to escape. It's, honey, pack the edibles.
Honey, Kylo Ren, I know that one. I know that girl. I've stared that girl in the face, literally.
Well, she's coming for you.
She's coming. Well, guess what? I was cut out of white noise. Fun fact.
Yeah.
And Mr. Driver himself was catching up with me about life. And I was like, that's Kylo Ren over there. I'm not scared
of
him.
It really is Kylo Ren.
I'm not scared of him.
You know, one of the great phenomenons of 2023 so far has been everyone rewatching Girls. And I am...
Oh my God, literally.
It's so crazy now to think of Adam from Girls as being Kylo Ren. Like, to understand that that was his
introduction, debut,
what catapulted him into the stratosphere was as the weirdest fuckboy in Greenpoint. And now he's Kylo Ren.
The pilot really does hold up so incredibly well.
It does.
For Hanisler, first lines to be, I'm a growing girl. Perfect. I know it's like on the nose maybe, but like actually works perfectly as she's stuffing her mouth, eating with her parents. I'm a growing girl. You eat it like they're going to take it away from you. Perfect first lines of that show. And then, oh my God, the Beach House episode.
Beach House, yeah.
I mean, there's a line in that episode that is often overlooked. It's where Andrew Reynolds' boyfriend t- talking to Lena, talking to Hannah.
Oh, yes. The writer. Yes.
The writer, but he's like, but they're having a good time. And then he goes, oh, you remind me so much of my friend Kayla. She's such a dilettante. I think that's such a funny line. She is such a, like, she's so wild. She is such a dilettante. And then Hannah's react, Lena giving perfect response to it, which is like, oh, that's so funny. Or like something to that effect. Like, it's so good. Just that little, I mean, she can write a fucking TV show or movie, whatever.
Yeah, unfortunately for haters, the show is actually better now than it was then.
Agreed.
Like, it is, because now it's this weird, like, period piece. You know what I mean? Now it's this weird, like, time capsule of the 2010s. And especially, like, you know, now being in your 30s, watching people in their, you know, early to mid 20s, and like the things that really frustrated me and annoyed me at the time, now I watch and I'm like, yep,
because you recognize it in yourself.
You would say that for attention, you would do that,
yep.
You would get into this fight, you would not be able to stop yourself from doing this. Like, it's just really, for someone who was just barely older than that age, she was able to capture what it means to be that age from like an all-seeing perspective that is to be applauded. I mean, it is a really worthy rewatch, especially if, like, you know, you're someone who's from New York or was living in New York at that time or understands the idiosyncrasies of like Brooklyn and Manhattan. It's just so...
Yeah.
Even the stuff about like liberal arts college, you know what I mean? Like all of it. It's just
completely
when you get on that attraction in Walt Disney World and see just how far Adam Driver was come to being an audio animatronic villain in many scenes of an attraction that is groundbreaking. Bowen, I'm excited for you.
I'm very excited. In this moment, I'm most excited to do Expedition Everest again. It's been many years since I've done that.
Really good.
One of my favorite rides of all time. Truly, when you see Miss Thing, it is a gag.
When you see Miss Thing, it is really, it is a hairy gag.
It's a hairy
gag.
It
is a scary gag. Oh,
say
and
that.
It is a contrary gag if you thought you were going to have a bad time.
And the drinks at Nepal, the drinks in the Animal Kingdom in that section, delicious drinks, delicious cocktails.
Oh, yeah. They turn all the way up. Honestly, I'm so excited to go just indulge with my sister. And also, I'm going to get you on the Velocicoaster, starring BD.
Starring BD, Bradley Darrell. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Bowen, you're going to get your life on that.
I've said this before. I'll say it again. I need this. Cannot come soon enough. That is the only thing that is giving me hope. Otherwise, I have been in a state of learned hopelessness, as my therapist calls it.
Learned hopelessness. Yeah, that is...
It's a very severe term. It's like a term that's like more applied to like people in like really shitty situations.
Yes.
Like an abusive relationship. It's not quite that. But I am sort of like completely distorted by work and can only identify through work. And I know it's like a rom-com-y cliche to be like, I'm a workaholic, but I hate it. You saw me.
Yeah.
You saw me on Saturday. The symbolic thing in this is that like I can't even have a therapy session without it being interrupted by something work related. Like my last five therapy sessions have either been canceled because of a work emergency or during the session, something's come up where it's like, hey, we need you now. And I'm like, this is indicative of the whole thing. Like designated protected time where I'm supposed to like examine things are not respected and
feels like it's getting bucked. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I just constantly feel like I have to like sigh and it's,
you know what, Bowen, I think you have to like, and something I've done is like, I've actually, and I'm not saying you haven't done this or that it's not a lot more difficult for you, but I draw a hard boundary now. Like I keep my therapy appointments and I keep them. And if something pops up, and they're like, oh, could you potentially do it now? I just say, I have therapy at that time. No, I cannot move it. And I understand that that might be more difficult for you because you are while an extremely crucial and important part of a machine, you are a cog in a machine. And I understand that sometimes it feels like that. And it feels like you're being handed a decision instead of being consulted on a decision. But your time for your like
literal mental workout and your emotional workout is really fucking important. Really fucking important. And I know that you say that, but I wonder if you know that and if you could draw a harder boundary. And I don't say that as like a instructive. I just
I
just think it's that important.
Yeah. Can I share the one thing in culture that I am actually enthused about because I was able to consume it?
Yes.
Was Kunk on Earth. It is Kunk on Earth. It is a
perfect, you were talking about this.
Perfect viewing experience. Here's why. Only 5 episodes. Every episode under 30 minutes. You can watch it in a day.
Yes.
And it is, every joke is landing. Every joke is the stupidest joke you've ever heard in your life, delivered by Diane Morgan, who is truly giving you a tour de force in comedy and in commitment and in just parodying all these conventions in mockumentaries, in series about human history, civilization, anthropology, whatever. Matt, you will be obsessed. You have to watch this. Kunk on Earth.
How do I watch it? How do the readers watch it?
The readers can watch it on Netflix. If you're in the UK, it's on BBC. You might already know. There was a series called Kunk on Britain. This woman named Philomena Kunk, who is a fictional character played by Diane Morgan, interviews professors, experts, asks them the stupidest questions you can possibly imagine. She does one like an American history. There's an episode on like American history after the Industrial Revolution. And she talks about the Civil War in America. And then she talks about Lincoln. And then she like sets up like Lincoln's assassination as, let me try to quote it. She goes, "Unfortunately for Abraham Lincoln, only 5 days after the North declared victory, he suffered a terrible tragedy by being forced to go to the theater to watch a play. A kindly gunman put him out of his misery, but cruelly, not until the third act." Like, so stupid. Like, she's delivering it, and like, I'm not doing it justice, but she is, the way she's delivering all these things is perfect. You will love it. All readers, I'm sure readers are already ahead of me on this, but Kunk on Earth is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful viewing. Healing, even.
I'm going to watch it, and by the next episode, I'll have Kunk on Earth thoughts, because I immediately respond to the name Philomena Kunk. I have to tell you that.
It's perfect. It's just the kind of comedy that, like, you miss, you know?
Totally.
Maybe a fun companion piece to, like, History of the World Part 2, which I'm also excited to watch.
Yes. Yes, I'm excited, too. I'm in it. Blink and you miss it.
Really?
Blink and you truly miss it. I'm in it. I'm in History of the World Part 2.
Oh,
yes.
My God. I love that.
I'm in a scene with Adam Pally.
Oh, I love.
I had a line and I heard that they cut it, but that's okay. Because it's a big cast.
I don't think so, honey. Mel Brooks.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Speaking of I don't think so, honey, I think it's time to transition into that segment, which, Bowen, as you and I both know, is our 60-second segment where we rant on something in culture that absolutely needs a pulling down from the perch on which it rests. And I have something. It is Oscars related, this sort of being the Oscars episode of Lost Culture 2023.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey, as time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. James Cameron and Tom Cruise not attending the Oscars because they didn't receive individual nominations for their films they produced that were nominated for Best Picture. I completely agree with Jimmy Kimmel. I don't think so, honey. This idea that you're like, go to the theater, go to the theater, go to the theater. And then on the one night of the year where it's the biggest night in Hollywood and you're supposed to celebrate theater, you don't show up because your ego is butthurt that you didn't get a nomination. Fucking God forbid you don't make a top five list, Tom Cruise, for your performance as Tom Cruise in Top Gun Maverick. What exactly did you do to merit a nomination over someone like Paul Mescal, who's fucking moving and brilliant? And also, not for nothing, but a new movie star. Doesn't this help the cause? I guess not, because nothing matters but you. James Cameron, I believe in the Way of Water and I believe in the Seed Bearer, but I don't believe in your lack of attendance at the Academy Awards. It's hypocritical, and I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute.
Like, it's stupid. And here, the thing is, you are nominated, James Cameron. You are a producer on Avatar, The Way of Water. So you're nominated. Show up. It's just so transparent. And Tom Cruise as well, a producer of Top Gun Maverick. You did get a nomination. Like, that is how sensitive you are? Ew.
The night is about showing up. Literally, the night is about being there.
Yeah.
And you're not there.
And everyone else is showing up. Like, tons of people were there that were snubbed. Like, not everyone is going to win. Like, Angela Bassett lost her category. She didn't leave right afterwards. She could have. You know what I mean? Like, give me a fucking break. As if you haven't been, like, lauded enough. Come on. It's just stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And in a world where it is even a little bit fixed, like, you don't think that your lack of attendance isn't also hurting the movie. Like, I don't know. Maybe if Tom Cruise fucking shows up at the Oscars, maybe, like, in a world where, like, the whole thing is fake, Top Gun Maverick does win Best Picture, but you wouldn't know and it didn't happen because you didn't come. But luckily, Nicole Kidman was there giving the performance of a lifetime on the red carpet. There's just sometimes people do certain things and you're like, oh, that's how a movie star acts, like a little bit crazy. I'm going to send you right after this. Someone dubbed the sounds they thought she may have been making on the red carpet. And it's a lot of this. It's just so funny because what she's doing is so insane. But anyway, it's about showing up. You're right.
We can't blame them. We can't blame these people for looking a little weird, behaving a little weirdly when there are like a million cameras pointed at them. But I love kind of laughing at people acting weirdly in any situation.
I love laughing at people acting weirdly. But here's the thing. It's not Nicole that is funny. It's the situation that is funny. And it's her galvanization and her sense of at-homeness on the red carpet, which to me is like, oh yeah, that's what makes a movie star. That little part of you that's insane, that knows how to do that on a red carpet and confidently can do that thing where you turn around and look over your shoulder and find the cameras, like on a place where you are not performing necessarily, but posing
It is that meeting of model and movie star and like award show opportunist that is perfectly combined in that moment. Like, you know who else does it? Fucking Zendaya. Zendaya hits the carpet and it's like a performance on the red carpet.
It's performance.
And she steps away and then is Zendaya a human, but she transcends being a human in that moment. And only so many people can leave their body enough to not just dissociate on a red carpet, which I know what it's like to do. And I feel like I've seen you do. And I've definitely seen like Joel Kim do that moment where you get on the red carpet and you sort of leave your body to be there for a photo. These people are like actively being photographed.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are kind of going the opposite way and they are kind of extra present, as in like,
yeah,
hyper present. Yeah.
Yes. Bowen Yang, do you have an I Don't Think So, Honey?
Okay.
Here is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. The tap water not being cold. I need the tap water to be cold as ice if it's going to go in my water bottle. If the tap water is tepid, I'm not drinking it. If the tap water is warm, honey, make it a little hotter so I can drink some tea. But the only water that's going down my gullet is ice cold seconds. Water. And that is a preference of mine that I think has done me right, has done me well, has not done me wrong.
Yeah.
I think the whole world could benefit from drinking ice cold tap water.
15 seconds.
And I got to tell you, the UK, or at least the Standard Hotel in the UK in London at King's Cross, does not have acceptably cold tap water. And it means I have to ask room service to send me ice so that I can put still water in it.
And that's 1 minute. And you know what? At least there's a fix, which is ice, which is easy to get worldwide. But the thing is, when the tap water is a little too warm, here's the thing. I know you metabolize it quicker and therefore you hydrate quicker.
I don't care.
I just prefer cold. I prefer cold, Bo.
I prefer cold. I need to feel refreshed. And the only way I can feel refreshed, on a somatic, psychosomatic level, my mind thinks I feel refreshed if it's cold, if my body registers it as, wow, this is a cold drink that you would have at any restaurant.
100%. I think we need to take this out on a high note, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And we do finish every episode with a song, Bo. And I'm reaching out to you. And I know what you see I'm reaching out to you with. And we end every episode with a song.
Hold my hand, promise it will be okay. I heard from the heavens.
We're singing it so much higher than she did.
Gray. Clouds have been gray. Hold me close. Lift me up.
I bet you didn't think it was a mashup.
Oh my God.
Hold me down.
Do you even know the song?
I've only listened to it once.
Safe.
One time.
Safe and sound. Fuck me in the highest place.
Making up words.
Slay me when you go off, king. Lift me up.
I'm looking at my sister.
Bowen Yang.
Amazing. Thank you, my sister.
I dedicated that one to you.
Thank you, girl. I love you.
Love you. There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Crocs, clogs, and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.